Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is John Baugh, Managing Director with Stifel Nicolaus. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kemp. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, good to talk to you. So the publicly traded companies in the flooring business have all reported their year-end results. We'll get to that in just a minute. I thought it'd be interesting. You just wrote a report yesterday that we ran on Floor Daily. It's mostly the focus is on Mohawk, but you talk about the business overall and some observations you make. We're still working on these numbers, so we don't have it all ironed down yet. It'll be in our May issue. But you talk about, if you look at just by category, that there was really a major piece of growth in the LVT business, maybe a little bit of growth in ceramic tile, and everything else was either flat to down, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, less than 10% of all flooring category grow, in excess of 20%. Not a mathematician, but you do that back of the envelope, and the majority of the industry's growth was in that less than 10% category last year. So took a lot of wind out of the sails. You know, carpet's been slipping forever, but clearly it impacted even the other category that still grew, albeit slightly, ceramic. It impacted, you know, traditional vinyl, it impacted laminate, it impacted ceramic, it impacted wood, probably impacted stone. So a really big, you know, game-changing event in 17. It looks like it'll continue to some degree here into 18.
So you're thinking that the industry overall grew 3 to 4%, and all of that, except the minor maybe growth in tile, was LVT. That's very interesting. Another thing you talk about, because you not only track the suppliers in the business, but you also track several of the, what we call, category killers in the business. There's also some shift going on there as well, isn't it? I mean, more sales are going to the floor and decors and the tile shop and lumber liquidators, right?
Well, floor and decor, which only has 80-odd stores, on the flip side, those stores are fairly productive. And their comp sales is something we focus on with retailers, is now in the seventh consecutive year of growing better than 10%. So they're growing their store count better than 20% annually, and their comps in the latest quarter were 24%. Now that was helped by Houston, 16%, even if you took out the hurricane help. So clearly, in the markets where they have stores, they're taking an inordinate share. You know, lumber liquidators and tile shop are in their own various states of recovery and struggling, certainly on a comp basis, not doing anything close to floor and decor, and on a unit store basis, not growing all that fast. You still have the home centers, which I track, Depot. You know, their latest commentary on flooring is that it was positive, but in Depot's case, below their store average comp, which was pushing 7%. So I do think we're probably seeing a squeeze still on independent flooring retailers. Really hard to get that data, but you have a really mixed bag between the big guys, the category killers, as you call, performance.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Mohawk, because a lot of interesting material there, especially in light of this report. You're looking at their EBIT growth and saying, you know, it's high single digits for 17 and 18, but in 19, you're looking for double-digit growth with Mohawk in EBIT, right?
Yeah, Kemp, and there's a whole bunch of factors that are playing, and you always have to be careful when you look at year-over-year performance, because some of it, or a lot of it, can have to do with what happened in the prior year period.
Right.
I don't think it's necessarily a strategic shift on Mohawk's part, but it just so happened that in the last, say, 6 years, the first half of that time frame, they were fairly heavy on the acquisition front and fairly light, relatively speaking, on CapEx.
Mm-hmm.
And it's reversed in the last, say, 3 years, if you want to fast forward through the end of 18 and count the capital spending this year, which will be about $750 million. And what that does is it tends to acquisitions, because their cost of borrowing is so low, are immediately accretive when they've put them on their P&L, and then they've been very effective at leveraging those assets fairly quickly. So they tend to have a very positive impact to earnings, as opposed to capital spending, where you have to make the investments, you then flip on the depreciation switch, you have startup expenses, the expansion of capacity, and it tends to have a lagged impact. Now, you layer on top of that the loss of the intellectual property profits, which was about $100 million run rate loss when that occurred June 1st last year. And you have a host of things that sort of caused this EBIT drag, if you want to look through the last 12 months that'll end here in 18 June, second quarter, that'll sort of reverse as you then go out into the back half of this year into the 19. So I don't think it really necessarily speaks so much to the fundamentals of Mohawk's business, which I don't think have changed a lot, as it does the cadence of some of these investments.
One point you make I thought was very interesting is that if you look at the whole Mohawk, you're saying that about 63% of their sales go into the U.S. market, right?
Well, let's be clear on that. It's in their 10-K filing.
Okay.
It is a 63% of consolidated revenues last year were in the United States.
Okay.
Now, they do break out in their results by segment, a category called North America. The confusion there is that that does not include the ceramic North American revenues, which are captured in the ceramic segment. It does get fairly confusing, but 63% of 2017 sales of Mohawk were in the United States.
And, you know, since it's about a $10 billion company, that means about $6.3 billion into the U.S.
Yeah, and that rate of growth they gave a year ago was 65% of the consolidated was slightly less than 3%. We don't have data in for the industry yet, but my guess is it grew 3 to 4. So you could say, oh, they lost market share, and some investors are concerned about that issue. But I explain in detail why I think that occurred and why I don't think there's a fundamental market shift for Mohawk.
Yeah, one of the points you made is that a lot of the LVT they sell, they try to make it here instead of sourcing it. So that's a factor.
Yeah, and with all that growth, you know, if you're sourcing and that's your model, you have the flexibility to just buy more. If you were counting on making it, to sell it, and then you add on top of that, you had some startup problems in making it because this stuff's not easy to make. You can ask some players who have tried. You know, I think longer range, that will suit Mohawk well. They try to make in-country products that they think will grow and be sizable, and that's exactly what they're doing with LVT. But in a year where the growth was explosive in that LVT category, you could argue it was better to be more flexible, for sure, to be a sourcer.
Let's go to Armstrong real quick. Just to quote you, you said their consolidated sales were down 5%. You say it was kind of a rough year for them last year, right?
It was a tough year. Armstrong is still transitioning, if you want to call it that, where if you bifurcated their business between what they call legacy sales and old stuff, so think of things like felt back vinyl or solid hardwood flooring as opposed to engineered, and in the former case, the fiberglass. You know, they were big in a lot of these legacy products, and they're trying to move their mix to the stuff that's growing, and that's occurring, but it's at a slow rate, and you still have to deal with the legacy stuff. So, you know, they're working through that. Certainly, we talked about, you know, the pressure on some of the categories like wood. That's a big part of their business, and while they're participating in the LVT, you know, it's hurting their laminate and their traditional vinyl business to some degree. So, you know, they're having to struggle, as is the whole trade, with this rapid shift to LVT.
Yeah, and they got into the VCT business in a big way when they bought Mannington's business. So.
Correct, and that is in their consolidated numbers, the acquisition benefit. So, you know, you could argue the core comparison of sales was even slightly weaker.
And they've cut some overhead recently. It was in the news that they were laying off some people at their headquarters.
Yeah, got to right-size the business, as we call it.
All right. And did you listen to their conference call? They said they're going to push some of the marketing function down to their distribution. Did they talk much about that?
Yeah, the topic came up. That will be interesting to see. I don't know if I have a strong opinion. You know, I don't know if that falls more in the attempt to get your customers, if you will, to pay for the advertising and save that expense. We'll see. I'm somewhat guarded about the effectiveness of that strategy, but we shall see.
Especially in light of distribution now, kind of wanting to do their own brands, private labels.
That's yeah, look, one of the asset values of Armstrong is their name.
Yep.
And the more we move to private label and away from names, it's tough. Now, these have never been, in my opinion, flooring names. I've never been great consumer brand names, but they've been meaningful within the trade. And so to see distributors and others, and then certainly the category killers we talked about, like Floor and Decor, they're not so much pushing the consumer brands as they are, you know, pushing the values and the availability and all those other things. So again, I think that's a factor that's probably working against the value, or whatever it is, of that Armstrong brand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Interface before we run out of time. I know they had a better year than some people might have guessed.
I think they had a good year. Yeah, they executed on their strategy to move into LVT, and they were able to eke out some growth in carpet tile, which I don't have good data on that, Kemp, as what it did last year, but certainly doubt they lost share. They could have gained share. So all in all, I think a pretty strong year. You know, and the commercial market here has been uneven. They've got a big presence in the UK that's a little Brexit challenge. So, hats off to them. I think they did a good job navigating 17.
So what's your outlook for the remainder of 18 for flooring sales? You think it's going to be a good year or a mixed year?
Well, we've got to get rid of the blizzards. That would help. Everything sets up pretty well from a macro standpoint. There are some things we're concerned or watching, like rising mortgage rates. But we still see the renovation, repair, remodel market being very strong. Commercial looks okay. Certainly single-family construction ought to be good once we move into that part of the season. Again, it's hard to break ground in Michigan on a home in February. But I feel reasonably good, but the first quarter is off to a pretty tough start. And we do have a lot of inflation to deal with. I mean, we're kind of starting the year on a tough note, but I think it ought to get better as we go through it. Hopefully we can get some price relief or see some of the inflation wane and see better volumes as we get beyond weather and other related factors.
All right, John, well, I appreciate your take on what's been happening in these publicly traded companies. Again, been talking to John Ball, Managing Director with Stifel Nicolaus, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloridaDaily.net.